Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Darker Side of Romance. I'm your host, Rhonda Caudill, and tonight we have with us MD Martin again. She's so graciously come back to join us for another show. Hi, MD.
Hi, Rhonda. I'm so happy to be here. I love coming on the show.
I'm glad. Thank you so much for coming back again. I thought tonight we might chat a bit about where some people get their, some writers get their inspirations and their ideas from for both the stories and also for their covers. Does the cover come first? Does the story come first? Does the title come first? Because I've done it different ways. So I thought it might be something interesting to kind of explore tonight.
I think that's a great topic. I'd love to talk about it.
Awesome. So we'll just throw that question out to you. How do you start? Do you start with the title first? Do you have an awesome title and you just say, I have to have a story for this title? Or do you have a picture, something in mind, and you say, hey, I need to write a story around this, and that ends up being the book cover? Or do you start with the story first and then the title and the book cover come last?
For me, I would say usually the title comes last, because I really don't start out with a, ooh, I have this great title and then I want to build a story around it. The title just kind of pops up at the end and I'm like, oh, you know, that's great. Yeah, I like it. But with mine, it usually starts out in my head as either like a little snippet from a scene, or, yeah, if I'm in like a restaurant or something and I hear just a conversation, or just, you know, I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people and then make up stories about interactions and stuff. So really my inspirations come from a lot of different places. So generally it always starts out with, I have some kind of little scene or little snippet of a scene. I'll even have, like, you know, just dialoguing characters in my head, you know, if this character was asked that question, how would they respond? And then I go from there.
Very interesting. See, I like to watch people and I like to say, what are they talking about? What? You know, but I don't really write about that yet. I haven't written about that yet. But I have a couple of stories where the title has come first. Had this awesome title, and I'm like, I should write a story, you know, around this title. So what does the title mean? And then the story kind of fell into place. But do you ever, have you ever had a cover or a picture, or maybe you've driven by somewhere and you're like, this would make a great book cover. The story behind this cover is, and have you ever started with the cover?
No, I usually don't start with the cover. I mean, I have a tendency when I have a cover, I'll get a little too complicated with it. And you don't want your cover to try to tell the entire story. It's just like, you know, a little snippet or something from it, but you don't want it to try to tell the entire story because then it gets too cluttered. With me, Now, images, yeah, like for the story Resurrection that I did. There's an old abandoned schoolhouse that I love to go and take pictures of. And just my personal photographs of it, every time I would take a picture, I was like, there's a story here. There's a story here. I really need to write it. I don't know what it is yet. And so I went home and I was just like, okay, it's an old dilapidated school. What can I do with that? And then the story just started unraveling itself from there, and that's in the Williams Point stories. And I really liked it because I even managed to creep myself out some with it. Now I did pull back some because I could have really, really went over the top, but I got myself, and that's hard for me to do. That's hard for me to creep my own self out. You know me. You know I
I
don't get
know
creeped out by a
you.
lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you creep
But
yourself out, it's that's saying something.
yeah, so I held back on a couple of little things I was going to put in it just because I was like, wow, if it really creeps me out, what's it going to do to everybody else? Because I've already had people tell me that they have nightmares after reading some of my stuff. So I'm like, I'm not going to put this, a couple of these pieces in there because if it scares me, I don't want to know what it would do to somebody else.
I know when I first read one of your stories, I was not expecting what I got because I know you. I knew you for years. And I was like, this is not this sweet little Misty that I know. Where did this come from? She's twisted and demented.
Know, if people only knew, I tell you.
That's something else, that a lot of writers. They'll bring forth something that people don't expect. If you were to meet a like you, for instance, if people know you, and then you write this just it's really creepy and it's really frightening some of the stuff you write. But you'll meet people and you'll think, it's just amazing what people will turn out. They pull from their darkest sometimes, their darkest, and you wonder where it comes from because I can write some really dark stuff and that's not who I am, but you can pull, and it's really strange how people do that. And then other people will read it and they're like, you wrote this? Where did this come from?
Exactly. I tell you. And I mean, like you said, you know me. I'm not a scary person. I'm not, yeah. I like to think of myself as pretty personable and friendly. And, I like to laugh at a lot of stuff. But,
Yeah, happy and cheery.
yeah. But I love to write horror stories. I love to write scary stories. I think to me, it's very, kind of cathartic because especially with horror stories, I can actually, if I am frustrated or, just really aggravated about something, in a horror story, I'm not afraid to scare, something because it's kind of a way to face your own fears and work
Right.
through them.
Well, and there
So
was an author that you and I both know, and I won't mention this author's name because I don't know if they want this told, but they had written a story and had been very upset with their children's baseball coach. And they
yes.
put the last name first and the first name last and killed this coach off in the story. So it's a good way to get rid of some pent-up anger without actually going to jail over it.
It is, and I think a lot of authors do that. I mean, if there's something bothering you, best way to get it out is put it in a story.
It's very
Because it's
therapeutic.
either it is. It's very therapeutic, and after a good writing session, I feel great.
You feel accomplished, and you've gotten all
Yes.
these emotions out. I mean, you know, when people have issues and they see a therapist, they're like, what do they, first thing they say, write it down, keep a journal, put your thoughts in there. That's basically what writers do all the time, only we share it with the world in some twisted ways.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're writing that down, if say your genre is horror, then you say, okay, well, let's just take this and let's make the teeth really huge and see how scary we can make it. Or if you write humor, you say, okay, let's go outlandish. Let's go over the top. How funny can I make the situation? And by being able to do that, it kind of takes you out of that moment where you're so connected to what the problem is that you can – by the time you're done with it, you can sit there and laugh about it and go, I don't know what I was even worried about this for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like you with Lola. Lola has some really dark parts, but it's very humorous. It's like, I would say, a morbid comedy. It's kind of what it is in spots.
She is a very twisted individual. I think that's why I connect with her on so many levels. I love the Lola character. I really do. Now, you know, my earlier statement about I don't start out with a title, I have to take that back. I did start out with the title on the second book because I already had that in mind. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to call this one. So I already had that in mind. But I also had a couple of scenes in mind, too, so that kind of went hand in hand.
Wonder if sequels, because of this, I had a sequel, actually two sequels, where I had titles already there before the books were ever, you know, before the ideas were ever conceived, you know, and the title helped me decide in which direction the books would go.
Right.
And then there was one book that I've been working on for like 20 years. I'm about halfway finished with it, but
I think I know this
title,
one,
Bella. Edge of Insanity. The title just came, and I'm like, I've got to write. This is such an amazing title. I got to write a book. But I think you've read what I've got written so far. But
I think I have. Yeah, I haven't. Like pulled it apart like I did your other one and made you write two books. But
well, you need to pull it apart so that I can get back on track and try to get this thing finished. But it's funny though where they pull from may not be from within them, may not be exactly what comes out on paper, but they're taking care of a problem. They're either making it lighter or they're making it darker. But they take that and turn it into an inspiration or an idea and put it on paper, and then you get characters that develop out of that, and then this whole story, this whole world just kind of forms in front of you because maybe you have a bad day at work or somebody picked you off really bad.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's like with the first Lola novel. The XTC story, that just came from a question that I asked myself while I was walking to the printer one day at work. And it was, wow, I wonder what kind of questions people in the call center like Lola works in actually get on a day-to-day basis when they answer the telephone.
What made you even pose that question?
I have no clue because it had nothing to do with the paper I was getting off the printer or anything. It just popped in my head was, wow, I wonder what kind of customer service questions they get. And then it was like the question would not go away. And I was like, okay, so what are some of the most ridiculous things they could possibly be asked? And then I just... It's like it just took off from there. And I have no clue where the question came from. It was just, you know, out of the blue. I wonder what kind of questions they get asked.
Some very strange ones.
I
want to know how you dreamed up all those questions.
Well.
Did you call a couple of call centers?
Actually, no, but working in a call center, you get used to some pretty strange questions just on regular products. I was like, yeah, I could completely take this and spin it.
That's funny.
So, and then I was like, for it to be that kind of environment, the characters would have to be over the top and just out there, and I had already done some previous trade show stuff and everything, and me and another coworker, we gave each other nicknames, and so she started calling me Lola.
Oh, so Lola
And I,
is you.
nobody's supposed to know that, but I was like, yeah, I really like this name Lola, and it would be so cool to use that in a story. And then I was like, but she has to have an off-the-wall last name. I didn't want her to have a name, like the average,
Yeah.
name you would find out anywhere. And I was like, okay, I want to call her Lola Avocado. And then I was like, avocado is cool because, at that time I was getting nachos on a regular basis and guacamole, and there's avocado. Yeah, let's go with avocado. And after I came up with that name, I was like, okay, so everybody else's name has to be. I didn't want anybody's name to be taken serious, so that's the reason Roxy's last name is Marzipan, because I was like, that's not a serious last name. I mean, so that's the reason I picked those names for the book. I did not want anything to be taken like really overly serious about the series. I want, she's a tongue in cheek kind of girl, and I want that series to be that way. I want people to just laugh at it. I don't want it to be, oh my gosh, this is such a serious topic. No, I want them to read it and walk away having had a good laugh
And
out of
that
it.
they will, because I did. I laughed my butt off. It was so funny. But I know that, okay, so Lola is you and you're Lola, but do you really, I mean, how much do you relate to Lola? And are there other characters in some of your other stories that are you or that have your characteristics or that you would say, hey, this could be me?
I think in all of my writing, I put some aspect of myself somewhere in it, but I'm not going to tell everybody every aspect of me that's in there. So that'll just leave you guessing. But like with Lola, I mean, she's not 100% me. She's like an amalgam of a lot of people I know. But there are certain things about her that are very much me. The klutziness, yeah, that's me. I can fall going upstairs. So, yeah, I'm klutzy. I'll own it. But and I mean, that's like aspects of Twyla are me. Aspects of Roxy are me. So, I'm not just one person in it. There's little pieces of me, there's little pieces of my friends. Yeah, I'm a writer. I'm gonna steal. If you've got a quirky trait and you're around me, I'm stealing it.
I
I'll
know,
just
and
warn you
you'll
ahead of time.
say, you've told me before, hey, I'm stealing, that's mine, I'm taking it, I'm laying claim to that, whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I've still got your spot reserved in one of the Lola books. I already warned you about that one.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see it.
It's coming, so yeah.
No, I can't wait. But I think that's true for every writer that. And it has to be, or the book's not going to be genuine. Every writer puts part of themselves into everything they write. And I think that's why it's so hard for writers to go ahead and let people read that first draft of that first book.
Right,
Or
because it's
even
so
take the
personal.
lunge, yes, or even take the lunge and say, okay, I'm putting it out for the world. That I think it's harder to let someone read your work than it is to publish to the world. because those people are strangers. They don't know you. But when you give that manuscript to somebody you know and you say, hey, will you read this? That's a very hard thing, I think, for most writers to do. It was for me. It was very scary. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I want them to read this. I don't know if I want them to know that I could dream up some of the stuff that was in the book. I was like, I don't know that I want, because you're exposed.
You're letting them see some of the most innermost workings of yourself. Yeah.
Right. And that it would be things that would not necessarily be, that I would not necessarily let be exposed other than in the book. So it's very hard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a very brave person, one, to go ahead and write that book and get those words out. And then, two, it's even harder to let somebody read it that you know. That first person that reads that book, it's really scary because you're like, they're going to like it, they're going to hate it, they're going to think I'm twisted, they're going to think
Mhm. Well, I mean, that's like the one that I keep promising to release, and the only thing that keeps holding me back is because I know I need to go back. I've got it wrote in first person, but I was playing around with it one day and started writing it in third person, and it's so much stronger that way. So that's the only thing that's holding me back on releasing it, is I just need to rewrite the entire thing as third person. But
right.
I had let one of my beta readers read it, and very few people have actually got to read this book. have you? Did I let you read that one?
Yes, you did. You said,
would this
be better in first person or third person?
And you agreed that the third person,
third person
was way better. So much stronger. But
it is.
The best thing that I've gotten was one of my beta readers, after she read it, she told me that when she got to the ending, she literally screamed and punched the manuscript because she did not like the ending. And I was like, that is like music to my ears. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, it's because I made you feel that.
Yeah,
that
if
emotion
you can
was
provoke,
so strong.
Yeah, if you can pull someone in so far and provoke such an emotion from reading a book, if you can make people laugh like Enola, if you can make people cry, or if you can make people, because I have cried at the end of books. I'm like, oh, no, and I cry. And then the next book I pick up, if it's a series, and I'll pick up the next one, I'll be happy at the beginning because things change or whatever. But if you can provoke such a strong emotion and for somebody to get that angry that they punch the manuscript, you've done something.
I know, because I was like, thank you. That is like the best compliment I have ever gotten. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, you don't understand. Of course, now that's like when you when you got to that one chapter in Lola and you were like, oh, you better not have.
I was saying some choice words and I was going to call you. I was like, what have you done? And I thought, no, you know what? I'll just keep reading a little bit and see what happens. And you're lucky that things changed.
I tell you, and I have to admit, when I was writing that chapter, I was just like, I didn't just do that, did I? I really didn't do that, did I? And then when I got so far into it, I couldn't help but sit there and laugh the entire time I was writing it, because I was like, I even had my own self going, did I just do what I thought I did? And then I thought, oh, when people read this, they're going to be so, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah,
and then when you told me you had that reaction, it just cracked me up, because I was like,
everybody has the same reaction who's read that. Everybody has to have that same reaction. It's so funny. Okay, so another thing I wanted to ask you is, it's going back to the covers and the titles. How do you come up with a title? And then when you get that title, how do you How do you decide on a cover?
Well, with the Williams Point ones, when I was indie publishing them, I had some very specific, I used my own photographs that I had taken. And I wanted to, like with the covers, I wanted them to be a basic black background with just the image on it. And I knew that for The Legends of Williams Point, the first volume, I wanted it to be, I had this really cool picture I had taken when we were camping of the campfire, because I was like, you know, these are short stories. They're scary stories. It's something you would tell around the campfire. So I wanted it to just be an image of just the flames from the campfire, because I was like, I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect for just little short, scary stories. So for the second one, my original indie cover was this picture of like a tree-lined lane that I had taken, and I flipped it to a photo negative to make it look a little scarier and everything. And then when Dark Hollows picked them up, we changed up the covers, but we kept the fire element in it because I really liked that, and I thought that it's just really emblematic of Williams Point and the, you know, the very earthy element of fire, and, you know, there's also fear, and, you know, darkness represents some of that, and, you know, there's also the light and the dark play of, like, the personalities in the characters and just parts of their whole total being. And the town itself.
Right.
I build a lot of stuff into my imagery.
And then, of course, the Lola cover.
Oh, yeah. Now, Lola, she's different. She's all about shoes and drinks and, you know, lightheartedness. But I didn't want, like, the first one, you can actually, it's not a silhouette. It's an actual person, you know. You see the leg and the boot and everything. But I didn't want, like, an entire image of a full image of a woman on either one of them. I don't want that to ever be on any of the Lola covers, because I want everybody to feel like, on some level, either they're Lola or they know Lola. And that's why I've wrote her that way, because I want people to be able to identify with her as, ooh, you know, I have that trait, or, oh my gosh, that's my best friend. That's exactly how she acts. You know, I want everybody to feel like they are connected to her. And that's like for the backgrounds for that one. I prefer the white cover for it, simply because she's lighthearted. There's no real darkness there. She's flighty. She's mouthy. She's sassy. She says what she thinks before she even really, she doesn't have an internal monologue. That's why she gets in trouble all the time.
Yeah, it just bypasses her brain and goes straight to her mouth.
It does, and then afterwards she's kind of like, oops, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But, oh, well, cat's out of the bag now.
I think it's very important to take, because the book cover sells the book.
It does.
And it's very important to make sure that the cover not only represents your story, but it's also an attractive, it's eye-catching, and it makes you want to pick it up and read it. And I have bought some books. The cover was fantastic, and read the story. I was like, oh, my gosh, they did such a good job on the cover. Boy, they got me. But, and then, it, you know, it's the same way with movies. You know, they'll have a movie, the sleeves, you know, for a movie, and it has to represent the movie, but it also has to be enticing. It should make you want to see the movie or read the book. So it's very important. I have a hard time myself trying to decide on a cover. When I publish for other people, I ask them to give me their vision. I take their vision into grand consideration, and then I tweak it to make the cover very attractive. But I think it's very important that the author have a big say, you know, a very large say in what they have, what they want the cover to be like, because it is their story. And I might read the story differently from the way they wrote it or that they want to interpret it. I may get something different out of it. And you want their vision for the cover because it more closely relates to the story. So, but I think it's very important that you get the story, you know, the vision from the story, but it has to relate to the story, but also it has to be very attractive and enticing and make people want to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
Title as well. I've seen some very long titles that has turned me away from books, and people will say, oh, that was actually a really good book. One I will tell you that I loved. I loved, 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 loved this book. But the title turned me away for, you know, the longest time, and so my family said, you really need to read it. It's a really good book. It was Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I'm like, that is such a silly title. It's just like, what is it about? But I really enjoyed the book. But the title...
See,
also,
I haven't read it
captive.
Yet, but I want to. I haven't read that one yet, but I want to. Just because I'm like,
it's a very good book.
Is it?
Yes, but you know, titles will either they'll grab you, or if they're too long or, you know, too quirky, might deter you. So it's very hard for me to find, you know, sometimes to get the perfect title. So I know you're probably like most authors, and that title changes a million times before you get to the end, but it's always work in progress. And
mm-hmm.
then you give it a
working
title.
Yeah, you have a little folder called WIP, and that's what it is. It's just a work in progress.
And you give it a little weird title, and you're like, this title will never stick. Sometimes it does, and most of the time it don't, but it changes. I have a book that I changed the title like 6 times before I finally decided on a permanent title.
That's like one of my works in progress is actually The Hybrid's Daughter from the second Williams Point book. I'm actually going to write an extended story about her and how they've finally, you know, made it to Williams Point and when she encounters Micah. And right now, it's just entitled Shayna and Micah because I'm like, I have no title for it yet. It's just, right now, that's just all it's called.
Well, and it may end up being that. That may be the perfect title when it's all said and done. You never know.
I'm sure I'll change that. I can guarantee you it will get changed. But
well, Misty, thank you so much for joining us. And I think that we covered a lot tonight. I only had, you know, just these couple of little ideas that I thought we might chat about, but it actually got a little more in-depth. But is there anything else you wanted to convey before we call it a night?
Yes, you and I both will be at RobCon at Viking Hall in Bristol on July 30th and 31st.
I thought it was
August.
No, I thought it was August.
No. Nope, it's July 30th and 31st. It is next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend.
Okay. I'm glad you told me because I thought it was the first weekend in August.
You wouldn't have showed up on the right day. I would have been sending you text messages. Where are you?
I would have been a week late.
But, yep, we will be there selling books, signing books. And I'm sure they'll probably have another author's panel, which I absolutely always enjoy when we do those. It's really great to get to talk to everybody.
And
they come up
wonderful.
With such good questions.
They do.
Oh, my gosh.
They pose amazing questions. It's like really makes you think. You can, it kind of gets you stumped sometimes, like, that's these off-the-wall questions. Like, wait
yeah,
a minute.
But it's awesome.
Let me think on this. But it's really good because it makes you think.
Oh yeah, and it's awesome when they come up to you and like somebody that really wants to take that first step into writing or whatever, and you get to talk to them during the panel, and then they come back to the table and they talk to you, and then later on you get a message from them, like on Facebook or a text message or something, or even an email saying, you know what, I really took your words to heart, and I came home and I wrote 3 chapters already.
Oh
I
yeah.
mean,
Yeah.
it that is just an awesome feeling to get to connect to people like that.
It is. It's wonderful to know that you've inspired somebody to do something like that.
Yep.
Okay, so where can we get in touch with you? Where is the best way to find you and your books?
My email address is mdmartinauthor@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. It's MD Martin, author. MD Martin author. Got to put that author at the end of it, otherwise you'll find a lot of other people. And then, and I don't know who half of them are. I can pretty much say I don't know who any of them are. But you can also find my books on Amazon.com/author/MD Martin.
All right. Thank you so
I'm
much
also
again
on
for
Twitter,
joining
but I
us.
can't ever remember my Twitter handle.
No way, you have a blog too that you don't use.
I know, I know. I swear, I'm so bad about that.
I'm
I
guilty too.
promise I'll get better. I'll get better, I promise. One day.
We'll make a pact and get better together.
That sounds like a plan.
Thanks again for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. I love it when you come on the show. You give so much, insight into the topics, and I really, really appreciate all of your input. I would like to thank everyone who joined us tonight and who might listen to us in the future. Thanks to Michelle Cornwall Jordan, because without her, there would be no Darker Side of Romance. Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you again next month. Good night.
Good night.